Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, October 15th, 2015. And with me today, Brian Chaffin. How are you?
Hello.
Oh, man. Is it wrong that I want to see you dressed up as Mrs. Doubtfire?
Funny enough, I was actually doing Rachel from Friends when they're drunk and they just got married. That's what's going through my head, at least.
Oh, well, I kind of like my reality better.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Hey, also in my reality today, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
What can I say? Sigh. Here I am.
Yep, yep, you're here, and I'm not picturing you dressed up as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Well, not with my blue science shirt on.
No, no. That would just be completely inappropriate. Hey, we have a sponsor today, though, and that sponsor is Casper, the mattress company, which is totally awesome. And we'll be talking about them soon, but I figured first, what we could get into is a little bit of follow-up from yesterday, and I'm kind of combining resources. So yesterday, John, you were on, and we talked about the Mac Pro and the Thunderbolt display. And then later in the day, Brian and I on Apple Context Machine looked at the Mac Pro again from the perspective that we have on that show. So I thought, since I got some responses to yesterday's show, why not have both of you on so that we could all respond to these together? And I'm thinking I'll start off with the one let's see, it's the most scathing towards us. And this is from listener John, and he starts off by saying, "Waha! The Mac Pro is 2 years old. What a whiny episode. You exemplify the picture of the trash can next to the sales register so you can throw it right into the trash and get back in line. If you can't use a computer for more than 1 year before getting a new one, you are part of the problem."
Seriously? That's the most ridiculous interpretation of at least what I understood. I didn't actually listen to the show, but I talked with John. Okay, that's just ridiculous. The problem is not that we want to trade in our one-year-old Mac Pros. The problem is we're talking about people who are buying them today. No one today wants to buy a Mac Pro with a two-year-old processor. That's the issue.
And a machine that was designed in 2012.
Well, the designed how? You don't mean aesthetically, I'm assuming.
Well, I mean, you know, to announce a machine and have working prototypes in the summer of 13, and it was in product development in 2012, which probably set the architecture limits.
Oh, well, yeah, okay, but that's true of every product. That's not. I mean, every product has a lead-in time.
Yeah, just adding color to it.
But the real issue is today going, you know, wanting a high-end machine and going to, and you know, let's just call it an Apple store where you're going to buy your high-end machine, and you're buying one with processors that are 2 years old. That's the issue. It's not about us trading in our one-year-old Mac Pros because, you know, we're done with them. I mean, the Mac Pro is certainly still going to be a very powerful machine for people. It's just not as powerful as what the competition is offering. That's the issue.
And another issue is the outward signs of Apple's commitment to the product.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. When you have a computer that Apple rolls out and touts as being this big innovative thing that they're offering us, and then we don't see any changes or improvements over a 2 year period, it does make you question Apple's commitment to the product.
It makes you question a lot of things. It makes you wonder whether the sales didn't take off. Makes you wonder whether Apple changed its mind about its commitment to the pro and creative market and the science market. It makes you wonder about whether Apple is so dazzled by the iPhone that they're going to be giving up on the Macintosh altogether or maybe only consumer iMacs are of interest to them. So it raises all sorts of questions that could be easily solved by Apple following up on its commitment in other small ways, engaging the community, talking about the product, supporting it in science and creative and pro circles. And then when you do that, when you talk about it and discuss it and support it, then people get the feeling like, well, it's just a little bit now until we get the next upgrade. But when you go dark on us and we don't hear a thing.
But Apple, have you just met Apple?
Well, now, you know what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying. What you're saying is that if Apple was a different company, it would solve this particular problem.
Well, no.
And that's not the real issue here. I think the real issue here is that Apple needs to give us, at the very least, Mac Pros with refreshed CPUs. It's the very least that Apple could do. And she probably, if you're talking about a machine that has what used to be these incredibly high end GPUs, Apple should probably update those too. The whole thing is designed for people who are looking for the most performance they can get. And 2 year old stuff in the tech world is not the most that you can get.
Let me defend myself here because I think you took me wrong, Brian. There used to be a site called apple.com/science. I worked on it. Or its predecessor, SciTech. And when we did that, we had stories about people using high-end Macs for creative purposes. And when you continue to publish those stories and celebrate what people are doing with the machine, you sense that Apple's enthusiastic about people embracing the product. But when Apple doesn't do things like that, then my conclusion is that Apple's not that enthusiastic about talking about people using their product. And that takes the wind out of the sails of the people who do.
Okay.
That's what I was getting at.
I still think Apple could solve this with some updated machines.
Okay. So now, how about if I give you guys another commenter's take on all of this?
Sure.
Okay, so this is from Steve, and he put together the whole Mac Pro thing and the Steve Jobs movie together, which I thought was very clever, and feels that in essence what Apple has lost is their ability to tell their story, and so I'll read part of his email. He says, Apple has no story to tell. Steve Jobs restructured his Apple to be very simple. I want this, then you want this, then you get that. The film showed us that Jobs' chaos brought order, and with his vision, then each product clearly said what it needed to say. Purchasing an Apple product was an experience. That is not how Apple works today, because there's no story. Products appear and disappear with no explanation. And so choosing Apple went from being that four-quadrant product grid to a spreadsheet listing every device and every feature and figuring out which overlapping device has the least compromises.
Brian, let me respond to that. I think this is a brilliant comment from the listener. Thank you. That brings a great deal of explanation to the situation. The quadrant is the thing. If the Apple 2x2 quadrant were the thing, that's where we have the pro desktop and the pro laptop, and we have the business desktop and the business laptop. If that were still a thing, then the Mac Pro would be a thing, because it would be an essential part of the 2x2 matrix. But with an incoherent product strategy, Apple has that liberty, if you want to call it a liberty, to sort of let products languish. This is a great feedback. Thank you.
I got a quibble, though. I think that the four-corner quadrant strategy thing that Steve Jobs forced on Apple after he came back was all about Apple surviving. And it was all about cutting down everything and getting back to the company's core roots. And the reality is that Apple doesn't need that discipline forced on itself. Now, Apple may need that discipline for other reasons, but Apple doesn't need that discipline to survive. Right? I mean,
it's the iPhone's carrying the company. That's why.
But no, it's not even that, John. It's the four quadrants was about survival. and it worked.
Yeah, but it also crystallized in our minds Apple's product line and its story.
I'm not saying there aren't ancillary
benefits. That's not a bad
idea.
That's not a bad idea, even today, that kind of discipline and orderliness. I understand what you're saying. I agree with you about how Steve Jobs had to pare things down to its core and tell the story. But is that such a bad idea today?
No, it's definitely not a bad idea. Like I said, there are ancillary benefits to having that simplified strategy. But I don't think it's as simple as Apple is strayed from it. I think that Steve probably would have allowed Apple to continue straying from it too, because the company has different needs today. Now, there are probably, mind you, a lot of things about the way Apple does do products that Steve would be doing differently than Tim, but I don't think he would be adhering to the four quadrant strategy religiously.
Yeah, I'm thinking probably not. If Apple were to create a four quadrant setup today, I think it would be desktop, portable, mobile, services. And at the same time, they're still looking where they can fit that fifth leg in, which is going to be automobiles.
And video. That's and mobile. Apple TV.
Well, that's...
And home automation. And the Apple Watch.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
I mean, it's definitely the listener feedback is definitely interesting. I don't think it's as simple as that.
Okay, so one more comment before we move on to another topic, and this one comes from Paul, and he's addressing specifically the Thunderbolt display. And what Paul says is, Jeff, I want to scream every time you guys say that you don't understand why the Apple Thunderbolt display still exists. It is simple. It would look bad to have any other manufacturer's display in the Apple Store. What do you guys think?
I think this statement includes its own logic of self-destruction.
Please explain, John.
Well, I'm saying that Apple has to have something in the Apple stores to put next to the Mac Pro doesn't justify having a display that is seriously outdated, totally obsolete, and costs an arm and a leg compared to other products. And so the statement sows its own seeds of illogic and self-destruction by pleading the case that Apple has to have something to put next to the Mac Pro. And after all, if he didn't have anything, it wouldn't, the Mac Pro wouldn't look very good because it doesn't have anything next to it. And
the real answer here is to actually update the product.
Yes.
That's
that's
thing.
The answer.
Apple's, I think the listener may have honed into something very key here. Apple may not have exited the display market entirely. Let's keep IMAX out of it, right? Because it wants to have its own products in the Apple Store. That may well be true. But the answer here is not to continue to sell the outdated Thunderbolt 2 display. It's to actually make a new display that's awesome.
Thunderbolt 1 display.
Thunderbolt 1 display, whatever it is. The Thunderbolt display.
With USB 2. And FireWire 800 ports and MagSafe
That's just it's ridiculous. Apple needs to have standalone displays that match the awesomeness of the iMac. Come on.
Yeah, it would be nice. And actually, now that I think about it, the Boulder Apple Store, I'm pretty sure they're using a 4K display, a television, instead of an Apple Thunderbolt display on their demo Mac Pro.
Oh, really? Get a picture of that for us, Jeff.
All right. I'll do that the next time I'm in. I'm pretty sure it was a television and not a Thunderbolt display.
And it was connected to a Mac Pro, not an Apple TV?
I think. But, when I go
in...
So
there's a lot of thinking and not being sure there, buddy.
Well, that's... at least I'm being honest. So there's that. But yes, I'll check the next time I'm in and report back. And everyone, thank you for your comments, because the feedback is always great, and the insight that you, dear listeners, bring to the show is always welcome and always fantastic.
Plus, Jeff likes it when I go into heart palpitations.
I totally, totally love that. Yeah, it's like one of the best things. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, which is also one of the other best things, because it's Casper, the mattress company. And I'm happy they're sponsoring the show, because I use one of their mattresses. I have the queen size model, and I am loving it. It has been helping my sleep issues, and that's a really beautiful, wonderful thing. So their mattresses, if you're not familiar with them, it's different types of foam that's laminated together to make a mattress that gives you the right amount of flexibility and the right amount of support, and doesn't turn into this big heat radiator thing so that you're uncomfortable. And I have laid in foam mattresses where I kind of sink in and feel like I'm in a cocoon. And not only a cocoon, but no, more like a burrito of death, because I'm wrapped up and they just get so hot. And that's not what I get with my Casper mattress. It's fantastic. I enjoy climbing in bed. And
I do too, man. I'm sorry, I got to interrupt you right there, because I enjoy climbing into my Casper mattress to bed.
That's right. You have one too.
I do. And I enjoy, and I don't like getting out of it either.
Yeah, there's that. When my alarm goes off in the morning, I do have this brief moment of sadness, because I realize I'm about to climb out of my bed.
And you might think that we're like being hyperbolic or flippant, but it's true.
Yeah, they're just wonderful mattresses. And the bonus is that they can charge less for their mattresses than their competitors, so you get a fantastic product at a better price. So as an example, I have the $850 queen-size mattress, and that's substantially less than you would pay for a competing product in a store. And they ship these right to you. You don't even pay shipping charges. They just show up in a box. It's akin to magic. And anyhow, so I said my mattress is $850 because they love us and they love you, our listeners. If you go to casper.com/TDO, you can pick out your own mattress and get a $50 discount on it. So you can get the mattress I have for $800 instead of $850. It's fantastic. And delivered right to your door. So go check it out and pick out a mattress and start sleeping better, because we all deserve to have that joy of climbing in a comfortable bed, followed by that melancholy sadness of realizing eventually we have to get back out of it again.
Yeah.
Casper, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, casper.com/TDO, and pick out your mattress. Okay. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about today is this whole thing with Facebook just chewing through my iPhone battery. So the backstory is, this is not a new thing, and it's something that I've dealt with back when I was running iOS 8 on my iPhone 6. The Facebook app was using a crazy disproportionate amount of my battery compared to everything else. And as a matter of fact, it was accounting for, I think, about 25% of my battery usage. And so I explained how you can shut off all the background stuff that it's doing. And that helped for a while. But now I've noticed, here I am in iOS 9, and I'm on my iPhone 6S, and I'm having a horrible problem with Facebook chewing through my battery again. The difference is that now I have all that stuff shut off, and it's still happening. So the deal is that a lot of people are speculating as to what is happening and how Facebook app is managing to sidestep the settings that block it from performing background activities. And some people are speculating that this is something that Facebook has done on purpose. And so I contacted Facebook. And what they told me is that, yes, they're aware that people are having some battery life issues, and they're looking into it, and they're working on a fix. So we know there is a light at the end of the tunnel, hopefully.
those are actually two contradictory statements, though. We're looking into it and working on a fix. Can't work on a fix until you've actually found the problem. So I'm wondering just how... You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. Yes.
I mean, I realize, of course, that these were, you know, legal counsel approved CYA say statements, but
and they would be foolish to have not run their statements for us through their legal team.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, we're looking into it and working on a fix. Yeah, that actually just doesn't.
Probably looking into it on how to fix it without fixing it. Yeah, by that I mean a slight reduction in battery power, but something that still preserves their strategy.
Yeah, and the thing is, what would that strategy be? And I'm not saying this just to be contrary. I'm really curious. What is the benefit in finding ways to let their app continue to run background processes, even when we explicitly prevent it?
Well, from what I read, there's two elements to this. There's one is the background battery usage and updates. The other is the strategy of making sure that everything you need is always in your face and the Facebook is able to communicate with you in all possible ways and to insinuate itself into your life, and any reduction in its capabilities and ability to grab connection and power, it reduces its ability to do that.
Yeah, and still, what's the end goal for Facebook?
John, have you become a cynic?
You know, if it were me, if I had the Facebook app on my iPhone, I would probably just delete it and use Facebook on my Mac where there's plenty of juice. That's what I would do. The fact that you would say, "Oh, I'm so dependent on it, I can't delete it from my phone," is a scary thought. And one should be cavalier and say, "Ah, this app's got to go."
Yeah, but the kids, they do all this stuff with the tweeting and the mobiles and the stuff on their phones.
I know. It's scary.
Yeah, well, still. We don't know why the Facebook app is doing what it's doing. We know that it is, and we know that Facebook is now aware of the issue, and that they say a fix is coming. We don't have any time frame on that, but at least we have a public commitment from them now. So that's something.
And this segment was brought to you by Crotchety Codger. Crotchety Codger. When you need someone off your lawn, talk to Crotchety Codger.
Watch it. I have a hand phaser pointed right at you through the glass, Brian.
That better be on stun, John.
Well, let me check the setting here. Maybe I can move it up a little.
Yeah. All right.
The duck fast.
Hey, I think we're out of time. So Brian, thank you so much for coming today.
Absolutely.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
It was an experience. Yes, indeed.
Yep. And listeners, thank you for your feedback and your insights. I always love getting comments from you guys. You all rock. Also, Casper rocks because they are our sponsor today. Head over to their website, casper.com/TDO, and pick yourself up an amazing mattress for $50 off. And listeners, we'll see everyone again tomorrow.